This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is part of our episode, Follow the Money. Drug development requires a lot of investment, especially early on, and it's a really risky undertaking. Only a tiny fraction of new treatments ever make it to the Food and Drug Administration for a review. So the beginning of the voyage to the pharmacy shelf is one of the riskiest parts, because you don't even know if this drug is going to pan out at all. And this early stage is changing. Big Pharma used to invest in this early phase, but increasingly is stepping back, looking to pick up products that are further along and a safer bet. So where's the money coming from instead? Who is paying for this part?
So more and more, private investors are picking up that early tab. And in many ways, they're shaping critical decisions about the advancement of future treatments and health technologies.
Reporter Alana Gordon got to peek behind the curtain on this process. She sat in on a meeting of so-called angel investors.
Once a month, about 40 executive types break from their regular routines to meet up for the day. There's schmoozing, a catered lunch.
It's all kinds of vegetarian and very healthy, organic food.
That's Ellen Weber, director of this group.
So we're taking a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to have a presenter who's going to present to our group for the first time.
This is the monthly get-together for Robinhood Ventures in Philadelphia. It's an angel group made up of independent, certified investors. Throughout the day, they're hearing from presenters who are asking for money.
We get 300 to 400 applications a year, screen it down to about 200 applications a year the screening committee looks at.
Then Robinhood Ventures invites in a select few to this monthly meetup. Each one gets 15 minutes to plead their case. This often involves PowerPoints, a Q&A. Then angel investors like Scott Fishman weigh in.
An angel investor, I guess the best way to describe it is someone who's been fortunate in their career, who is now in a position to, I mean, it sounds a bit cliched, but give back in a way, in the sense that angels are in a position to help fund startup companies.
So I don't see any wings.
You don't see any wings because I keep them hidden.
Fishman says angel investing isn't about just throwing money at something in hopes of a return.
We are definitely engaging at an early level with the intention to engage at a deeper level.
Yes, angel investors want to make money, but Fishman and others are excited about kickstarting new therapies and are also offering mentorship and support, sort of like Shark Tank. He says you can have the best idea ever, but if you don't have the business smarts or the right plan, everything will implode. The types of startups this group considers run the gamut. Fishman is one of a growing group of investors here who are interested in drugs and biotech. I find another cluster of them in the back.
I'm Mark White, and I was in the pharmaceutical industry, Big Pharma, for 30 plus years.
And my name's Adrian Trevisan. I guess I'd prefer a drug that's going to cure somebody of something or do something important.
So my name is Fred Berg. I mean, we like the altruistic side, but, you know, we like to make investments that make a return for us.
The group gets seated around a long table shaped in one big, intimidating U, facing a podium and drop-down screen up front. It's mostly men, businessmen, but there are a few scientists and a couple of women. Jeb Connor gets ready to present.
Listen, thank you very much for the opportunity to present here again.
Now, when I think of startups, I imagine a young Silicon Valley type nervously holding a PowerPoint clicker, stuttering through some presentation. Connor is not that.
Expected to grow substantially during that time frame.
He's calm, composed, and straight business talk.
You know, where we stand in this is probably a $300 million market today.
Connor is part of this growing field of biotech and pharma companies vying to win over these angels. The goal of his company, GenPro, is to develop tests using software and DNA to better diagnose and target treatments for patients earlier on in their disease. Connor is a longtime businessman. He partnered with a research scientist to create GenPro.
On the right-hand side, you see the sort of the genomic data.
Startups like this are working on therapies for cancer, Alzheimer's, autoimmune diseases, and more. But Connor says the competition for early funding is fierce.
Even if you really have a really promising concept with a proven technology, you have to, you know, get people to believe in it and to believe in you.
Years ago, Connor might have had to convince Big Pharma to believe in him. But today, lots of the big pharmaceutical companies no longer develop drugs from scratch. Instead, they're looking to pick up products that have already advanced some and are showing more promise. This void, plus an explosion in the whole biotechnology field outside that traditional pipeline, has created a new marketplace for early stage investment. It's fragmented and a little chaotic. Swathi Chaturvedi is founder of Propelex. It's a company in the Bay Area that's trying to help by connecting angel investors with biotech startups.
So the number one challenge is for these companies, how do they access these individuals, right? Vice versa, for the individuals, how do they access these companies?
But she says getting investors interested in this area is tricky. Science is intimidating and complicated.
Most people don't understand them. Right? They're based on complex technologies. So typically what has happened is that has further narrowed the pool of angel investors.
And she says this biotech and pharma area runs counter to the general startup culture. That's driven in large part by the software and internet world, where success is often built around celebrities, PR, and buzz. So for example, how many people are downloading some app makes it more popular and valuable. So more investors want in.
But in science, that is not the case. In science, what you should be asking for is data. What is the experiments that you've done? What were the results? What were the stress tests that you did? How long did you do them? So those kinds of things are more important.
But is this really the best way to develop new healthcare technologies and therapies?
So there are pros and there are cons.
Rachel Sachs is a professor at Washington University in St. Louis. She studies this whole innovation and biotech area. On the plus side,
a number of small companies exploring a number of new innovative ideas might mean that we get breakthroughs more quickly than if you have a few old pharmaceutical companies who are sort of stuck in their ways, right? If you have new upstarts, you might think that we can take risks.
But on the other hand, for the private investor, those products have to look profitable. There's a bit of a Wall Street game here. Sometimes the goal of investors is to sell the smaller company to a bigger one that makes money. That's also a way to get it to the next level of development. Investors may also prioritize treatments that have a lucrative market over ones that are valuable to society, but might not make as much money once they do hit the market.
So it might be that small companies which are making drugs, which the venture capitalist thinks are more likely to be blockbusters, are more likely to get venture funding than companies investing in neglected diseases or riskier products.
That goes for big pharma, too. But again, going back to this first angel stage, even if a product gets this early funding, it's small potatoes compared to the big dollars it will need through its long journey to the finish line. Back inside the slick room on the 8th floor, Jeb Connor's pitch session wraps up. I'm struck by the numbers on his last slides. He thinks his tool to predict diseases and better target treatments could have a multi-billion dollar market if it works out. But first, he'll need to raise several hundred thousand dollars from guys like these. I catch up with him while the angels debrief in private.
How are you feeling?
Feel fine.
Things went well? What do you think of those questions?
It's a good group. You know, you can see that a majority of them are paying very close attention, and they're good questions.
Connor says the idea is once he gains more traction with angels, he hopes bigger venture capitalists with deeper pockets will take interest and invest millions more. So has he gained any traction today with an angel investor? I catch up with Scott Fishman as he walks out too.
Okay, what did you think of the last presentation?
He isn't ready to show his cards.
To be really honest with you, I kind of need to sort out my thinking with it.
Part of that sorting will involve consulting with others from the group and possibly more research. But before all that, Fishman and others rush off to a more immediate, critical part of the day.
So what's the next steps in all of this now?
We're going downstairs for cocktails.
This is a key part of the process.
Yeah.
This is when the real decisions get made right now.
This is decisions about cocktails.
Building camaraderie also appears to be an important part of this high-risk, potentially high-rewards game.
That was Alana Gordon reporting.
Hey, Mikan.
Yes.
Can I make a song request to play us out?
Sure, what is it?
So, Bono, do you know Bono?
Of course.
Yeah, he has this song, Miracle Drug, and he also happens to be a big angel investor.
All right, let's hear it. I've had